time to wake up. It's Saturday morning. Find some milk and cereal. Grab a bowl and spoon. No, a bigger spoon. Head to the living room and take a seat on the floor while Joseph and Chris present to you
Saturday Morning Cartoon!
Hello everybody and welcome to Saturday Morning Cartoon Boom! This is a show where we wake up on the Saturday morning sun, plop down the living room floor, the big bowl of sugar is here, and watch all your favorite cartoons, both old and new. I'm Joseph.
And I'm Chris.
And this morning, we watched Where on Earth is Carmen Sandiego?
Where is she?
Where on Earth could she be?
I don't know. What if she's not even on Earth? What if she's like in a jet or something? Technically, she's not on Earth. She's in the sky.
Yeah, true.
So
where in the sky is Carmen Sandiego?
Have they ever done like a space age, like Carmen Sandiego video game?
I think
it could
so.
Be like where in space is Carmen Sandiego. That'd be awesome.
I think they actually did that. Yeah.
Oh,
so that wasn't original. You didn't come up with that.
Where in the galaxy is Carmen Sandiego?
Maybe not.
They could
that.
Do like, it could be No Man's Sky, but with a Carmen Sandiego twist.
Just put Carmen Sandiego skin on everything.
Exactly.
There you go.
I like it.
So who was this suggested by?
This was suggested by Ira Sutton via YouTube. And this was Ira's first choice for us. So thanks, Ira.
Yes, thank you. Good first choice. So the show Where on Earth is Carmen Sandiego ran from 94 to 99. It was developed by Phil Harnage, produced by Broderbund, Deke Entertainment, and DHX Media. It ran for 4 seasons, 40 episodes on the Fox Network. And for a short synopsis, the world-famous thief Carmen Sandiego plays an intricate game of cat and mouse with teen Acme detectives Zach and Ivy. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's about right, but I feel like you have something to say about it, but we'll get there.
It'll happen.
So, Chris, who are some of the actors who played in this show?
Okay, so the one actual actor that we see, Player, who is also listed as Player Z, I don't know why the Z part, is Eric Monet. Or Monette? Go with Monette. I don't know. The voice of Zach was Scott Menville, who was also Mati from Captain Planet. He's in Flintstone Kids, Mission Hill, Teen Titans, and Teen Titans Go as Robin, a pup named Scooby-Doo, and of course, everybody's favorite, Super Robot Monkey Team Hyperforce Go.
Nice.
Which I've never heard of before, and we will have to watch now.
Yeah, of course.
The character of Ivy, Zach's older sister, was Jennifer Hale, who we have mentioned before. She's one of the most sought-after names in voice acting, having voiced main characters in games like Mass Effect, Metroid Prime, Metal Gear Solid, and Bioshock Infinite, as well as cartoons like Powerpuff Girls, both Avatar series, Totally Spies, and tons more. The voice of the chief was Roger Bumpus, who is known for voicing things such as Heavy Metal, The Real Ghostbusters, Toxic Crusaders, Invader Zim, and Teen Titans. And then finally, the main character of the show and the namesake, Carmen Sandiego, is voiced by Rita Moreno, who has done a lot of musicals, lots of television in the 1970s, and is one of only 12 people to have won an Oscar, an Emmy, a Grammy, and a Tony Award.
Wow.
So that's pretty impressive for being someone I've never heard of.
Yeah, for real. Yeah. I feel ashamed that I haven't heard of her now.
You know, but like looking at her stuff, I mean, there was a whole lot of huge big name things that I recognized. But I mean, it seems like she's done a lot of musicals. And that is something I know hardly anything about. So,
well,
big on the musical circuit, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair.
That is fair.
That is fair. For a few tasty marshmallows out of her big bowl of Carmen Sandiego cereal, the original main theme is a version of an opera composed by Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart.
Nice. I hated it. I hated this theme song so,
Where is Carmen Sandiego?
Bad.
Why'd you hate it? It was pretty much just telling you the name of the song over and over again.
No, man, it just, like, the music itself, the singing, it was just like... Some sort of, I mean, it did sound very operatic. Is that a word? I don't know.
Operatic, yeah.
It like, almost like it's supposed to be an anthem for a country, except it's singing about Carmen Sandiego. And dude, like, I could not do it. In fact, every episode we watched after the first one, I had to skip through that crap because
oh,
I could not could not do that to myself. I didn't deserve that, man. I did nothing to deserve it.
You felt very strongly about that. I didn't think twice about it. It's just something that I remember from childhood. So I was like, okay, I'm fine with it. I didn't have a problem. Okay, so, and here's something interesting that I learned that I had no idea of before, and it makes total sense now. The series is originally based off a video game series that started in 1985 and is still going as recently as 2015 when they released Carmen Sandiego Returns, also a PC game. So this is a series of edutainment. So it's like educational entertainment video games where it's as Carmen Sandiego, the show is, where it's kind of like a historical mystery kind of solving video games. And that's what started the whole thing were these video games. And that's what the show is based on. So this is technically a show based on video games. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
I'll explain that more in a little bit.
Okay. And also this Carmen Sandiego franchise in general spun off into two different game shows, Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego, which I did watch as a kid, and then followed by, this is the direct follow-up to that show, which was Where in Time is Carmen Sandiego, which I did not watch. The video game spawned the TV series, which then rolled into the game show. So it's a bigger franchise than I thought it was.
Yeah, it's pretty big.
So what do you know of this show? How much do you remember this from childhood?
I barely remember it from childhood. I mostly just remember the chief from the show and not liking him very much. And I just remember him looking like Egon from Real Ghostbusters.
Oh, totally. But
I was way more familiar with the video games because one of the very first PC games I ever played was Where in the USA is Carmen Sandiego. And I used to play that constantly. And like you said, it's basically like an educational game software. Like it was basically, well, almost anything Carmen Sandiego is either history or geography. And I think more emphasis on geography. And that's basically what it was. So I played a lot of that. And that's where I originally knew Carmen Sandiego from. Oh, and my girlfriend dressed up as Carmen Sandiego for Halloween last year. And it was awesome.
Nice. Okay. So you've been kind of surrounded by that for a long time.
Yeah, I grew up with this for sure. Not the cartoon, but I grew up with Carmen Sandiego.
Yeah, that's crazy. See, I did not know that was a video game at all. And so when the show started and I was like, so this is like a video game that we're supposed to think that they're, it's almost like if you've ever seen the show Reboot, where you are kind of the player, and this whole thing is just a simulation inside of a video game, this series, that's what's implied and we're supposed to think is going on.
Well, yeah, that confused the crap out of me because I couldn't tell if any of this was supposed to be in the real world or is everything just in the game. I assume it's all just in the game, but they make it really hard to understand that.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely crossed the line where it was like, okay, this doesn't feel like it would be in a video game, but no, that's what it's supposed to be, is all just a video game that some kid is playing.
It's so weird.
Yeah, right? I had no, like, I remember this from my childhood, and I remember the theme song, and I remember the show in general, but I did not remember that aspect of it.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
It was weird to me. But let's go ahead and jump into the three episodes we watched for today's show. Their first episode, highest rated episode, and finally, random listener chosen episode. Or it may vary depending on how these episodes fall chronologically, but of course we have to start with the very first episode being The Stolen Smile, Season 1, Episode 1. And in this one, picking up clues across Europe, Zach and Ivy discover that Carmen is both an art lover and an art lifter. Kind of. There's a lot more to it.
Yeah. I think she's more of a showboat than anything, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think she really loves anything. I think she's just doing stuff to be a jerk for the most part.
It almost seems like she's just bored, and so she's just doing these things because she can.
Yeah, it's not like she has big plans for any of these things, and it's not like she can steal these, you know, big things and sell them. Like, because she would get caught so easily if she sold them, and no one's going to take that risk. So it's like, yeah, she's just doing it for fun.
Yeah, like this is her entertainment. She's a master thief. She almost reminds me kind of Catwoman in that way.
Yeah, kind of.
Because I don't really, I mean, Catwoman, yeah, she goes for like jewels and stuff to make money off of. But Carmen, but she also, Catwoman does it for fun as well. And so this is kind of the parallel to me for that.
Yeah, that makes some sense. And especially, I mean, you can tell it's for fun because Carmen always leaves clues for people to like catch her.
Very Riddler-like.
And she does it because she knows she'll never get caught. Or she thinks she'll never get caught.
Right. she leaves clues enough for the detectives to catch up to her, but then still she is able to elude them for, what did I say? How many episodes was this?
Too many, I think is what you said.
40 episodes. So she was able to elude them for basically 40 episodes. Yeah. So to start this one out, just to start every episode out, we start with a live action set where it's a kid sitting at a computer and it's going through all these kind of, not loading screens, but it like loads this little globe thing and then it jumps into, sometimes it'll have the kid like talking to Carmen in a way, like talking to the computer,
yeah,
being like, I'm going to catch you this time, Carmen, or what are you up to this time? Stuff like that. And she'll talk back to him. So it's a weird kind of interaction going on there.
It is weird. So another thing that I just thought of this, what is with the name Acme and cartoons? Like, you know, Looney Tunes, everything is made by Acme. It shows up in things like Who Framed Roger Rabbit. And also in this show and in, you know, whatever other Carmen Sandiego properties, the detective agency that's always tracking her down is called Acme. And I don't understand why everything is Acme. Like, is it a conspiracy? Does Acme have a monopoly in the cartoon world that they can just do everything? Are they Google? Is that pretty much it? Like, I don't... help. Help me.
I don't know the answer to that, but hopefully someone can tell us because... I don't know.
Help me, someone.
So what's happening in this episode is a little bit as the name implies, well, kind of towards the end, but... she's stealing not whole art pieces, but piece. So basically she's ruining pieces of art by taking bits off of them. Like her first one is the eyes off of a Van Gogh self-portrait, the most famous Van Gogh self-portrait. And she comes in, she takes them even when she's being pursued and it seems like she's about to get caught. Like in this case, she's running from these, you know, police helicopters. In her little red helicopter, they take her down and it looks like, you know, they've got her, but it turns out to be a dummy. And it's like, oh, well, she's just back in the museum this whole time. Like it was just a decoy.
Yeah. I want to call shenanigans on that because we see her like, you know, grab onto that rope and we see her like descend out of the museum. Like you see her face and everything and she's moving around, but then... somehow, as she was ascending without anyone seeing it, she managed to swap her body with an entire mannequin. I don't know how that works.
She's a magician of some sort.
Yeah. And the mannequin knew enough to be able to push the thrusters forward on her jet and drive it for like an unspecified amount of time.
The mannequin had a pilot license.
And maneuvered through things because it had to maneuver under a bridge. And all kinds of stuff. So, dude, those museum guards aren't messing around because the second that alarm went off, there were like multiple helicopters. There was a police boat. There was police cars everywhere. I mean, this was in seconds. It's like, man, they have a really good response time. They should get raises.
They should. Well, no, they shouldn't because she still got away technically.
But it's Carmen Sandiego. I mean,
yeah,
come on.
And this was in the Netherlands. Then we see, and here's something that was crazy to me too. So we go back to, I guess the lab, Acme Lab, where the chief is the giant Egon head. And it's almost like Zordon. Think of it like Zordon. And then.
But with Egon's head.
Yeah. Yeah. Zordon, Egon. And
the personality of like the genie from Aladdin or something.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. So it's now the player's choice to basically pick a character that they want to be. And so the player chooses Ivy, who is the, you know, redheaded, brash young woman who is here to, she's a teenager. I don't know for sure.
And she's awesome. Ivy is like the best character in this entire show.
She is very cool.
Easily.
And then because I don't know why there's two players in this. I didn't think there was a second player, but I guess there is here. The player summons her little brother, Zach, who is kind of like, he's very obnoxious at times, but he's a good detective, but he's very fast to act without thinking.
He's a know-it-all and he's her younger brother.
Yeah. And she doesn't like to be called sis for some reason.
Yeah, for whatever reason, that really sets her off. She gets really upset when he calls her sis. Maybe she's just really ashamed to have him as a brother, which I could understand.
And then everybody, it's kind of like almost breaking the fourth wall because all the characters are talking to the player, at the player, which in this scene is basically us. So they're talking to the screen. So it's a weird kind of fourth wall thing they've got going on.
What I thought was funny, too, is they'll sometimes ask the player to like, hey, pull this up or hit C5 to teleport us to this place. And I swear to God, it's like 30 seconds of the player typing something. Like it might be like a word that's like, you know, five letters, but he types for like 30 seconds. And I'm like, I feel like they're just overdoing that typing sound effect a little bit, just yeah. a little bit.
Just filler. Typing and filler.
They even show, like, sometimes they'll even show his fingers on the keyboard typing, and the sound is not mashing up whatsoever with him actually doing the movements. It's not even close.
So then they head to Holland because that's the next place she's going to be. Carmen's henchman spots them, who is an international con man and an art thief.
Yes.
It cuts to a commercial at this point, and in all the commercials here, it's like, in the interludes, there's like a fact that it's pretty much something they've just told you. And it's like, all right, how good your memory? Because we literally just told you the answer to this. And this one is another name for the Netherlands, which is Holland.
Yeah. Well, it's funny too. It's like, let's go to Holland, aka the Netherlands. And then cut to commercial. What's another name for the Netherlands?
Right,
like,
exactly. Well, duh.
Literally just told me, like, we haven't even had 10 seconds in between yet.
Well, repetition is how you remember things, Chris. So I'm going to remember that forever now.
I don't remember much anyway. So it's all right. Oh, real quick. Can we talk about, like, especially like when the chief is like giving some sort of facts about something, they're like, oh, maybe we could go to like Egypt. And then he talks like this and starts talking fast and making goofy noises. But then it's showing like, it looks like the camera's moving through, I guess, what's supposed to be the internet. Like, it's moving through, like, this weird tunnel with these graphics and different, like, pictures and stuff. The graphics might be as bad as those graphics from Mutant League. I don't know if it's as bad as Mutant League, but it's pretty close.
It's not as bad, no. I wouldn't put them there.
To me, I was like, oh, God, this is real bad. I mean, you can, like, this dates it. I mean, this even, like, it almost looks like it's not even good enough for the era that this was from.
So she, okay, as far as leaving clues goes, like we were talking about, the first clue the clue that I remember that she left is one that's like, I have the biggest nose, but I might be lying. And then they have to figure out, it's very much Riddler type clues.
That's funny. I got that one immediately too.
Yeah.
The Sphinx. Easy. Sphinx.
Exactly. Yeah. Got the nose, lion, might be a lion. Yep.
Can I talk about some of Zach's, like, he did in the first episode. He didn't really do it so much in the other ones, but he would have these little phrases he would say, and they were like, I didn't understand whatsoever. Like, one, he was like, yeah, marbles don't float in ketchup. I'm like, what?
Oh, yeah.
Is that a saying anyone uses? Why? Why? And then one time when he caught on to something quicker than his sister did, he's like, do a few cerebrum sit-ups. And I'm like, oh, God. I hope Carmen, like, kills this kid. I hope she does. I mean, she doesn't use weapons, but...
Right.
Like, if she wants to, like, I don't know, like, hotwire one of their vehicles and cause it to crash or something, like, yeah. I'm good with it.
Carmen, you
have my blessing.
She's a thief, but a pacifist. She's nonviolent and does not use guns or any kind of weapons, so...
Just too bad in that case.
Yeah, one thing he called one of the henchmen was like a dork bud or something. And
yeah,
that made me laugh because of how dumb it was.
Hey, dork bud.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. So they teleport to the top of the Sphinx after they solve this fairly easy riddle with the C5, which is what they're constantly calling on the player to use. I don't know if it's supposed to be like F5, the button or whatever, but...
I would assume. I mean, that's what I was thinking. I was like, there's no C5 on a keyboard, though.
I don't know why they wouldn't just say F5, but I don't know. But yeah, so they teleport to the top of the Sphinx. There's henchmen waiting for them, but they're looking the wrong direction. Instead of the henchmen like looking kind of surrounding the top of the head and ready for anything, they're all just looking one direction off of the front of the Sphinx. And so they're able to sneak up on him pretty easily. But even still, the kids are able to get away, take one of the bikes, starts outrunning the dork buds. Or he said he could outrun the dork buds like they're on an he's on an anorexic turtle. And I was like, dang, what a weird line.
Well, he says some weird stuff that don't make any sense.
Yeah.
I think my favorite part of that episode was when they were trying to sneak up. And like there was so many guys there that they weren't sure like how they were going to do it. And Zach's like, how are we going to do it? And Ivy's like, with this marker and those bats, we're in the clear. And I'm like, what? Yeah. A marker and some bats? Like, okay, whatever.
Right.
And like the marker wasn't even really part of the plan. It was just like they used it to be jerks to Carmen.
Oh, yeah, yeah. In Egypt, what they do, they steal this nose from a Picasso painting, and then they go for the smile, which is obvious. I mean, the famous like painting smile from the Louvre in Paris, France, of Mona Lisa. And Carmen confronts them there. It interludes again to the largest desert in Egypt, I think it is, and it's the Sahara. And then
who would have thought?
Da-da. After she catches them, I mean, because she does catch, because I think like they try to hide by pretending they're statues or something. And
yeah, because that was really smart.
Right, because it's like they've already seen you, A, and B, you're still in your regular civilian clothes. All you're doing is holding still. Like you literally could have done that in the other room and it would have been the same result. But anyway, they catch him, they lock him in this storage closet, and then Ivy's able to kind of jump up and break the door open with her swift kicks. And then, and what Carmen's doing then, she's hijacked a TV show so that she can present to the world the combination of the eyes, the nose, and the mouth that she has stolen off these famous paintings to make her own work of art. She said, like, she would never sell it or anything. It's just for her personal collection.
Mm-hmm. Ugh. Stupid. What a stupid plan with a stupid result. I'd say, though, like, Ivy, I immediately liked Ivy because Ivy was, I mean, beating the crap out of some of these henchmen. I mean, she was, like, jumping up and kicking them and, like, wrestling them to the ground. And, like, she was going for it, man. I was pretty impressed.
Yeah, no, she was a good character.
She was.
They go to, where she does the TV show hijacking. It's in this, what is it called? The Lascaux Cave or something?
Oh, yeah, it's in a cave, and that's where the bats were. And
right. The bats, but then a fire starts and everything starts to burn. The detectives manage to sneak a fake painting to Carmen Sandiego and, you know, save the real one so that I guess they can take the pieces back to where they belong.
Yeah.
And then, it closes out kind of like it opens with the player where it's like the player, I think he says, next time I might just catch you to Carmen. And then she's like, well, until then, player. And then ... And then the episode ends. And that's how it goes. That's the those are the bookends for the episodes are live action.
And that tends to happen with like some of the when they come back from commercial breaks too. Sometimes you'll see the main actor or the player
at the back of his head.
And this is weird. So there appears to be the same boy in every episode we watched. I would assume it was the same boy in every series, especially because only one boy was credited and he's credited for every episode. But the very, very last episode, it's a girl.
Yeah.
And the last episode, so this was a two-parter. And part one, it's a boy. And part two, it's the same role, but it's a girl. And I'm like, what? Like, when did that happen?
Yeah, I didn't understand that either.
Yeah, it threw me off. I'm like, there's no problem with it being a girl. But like, if you're pretending like it's still the same character, I'm like, well, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I'm wondering if it's just to show, and maybe not, because otherwise I think they would have done this before, but just to show that like multiple kids are playing this game, not just one lonely kid.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I have the feeling it's still that lonely kid. And maybe, just like, I'm done with this show. This is stupid. I quit. So they're like, all right, well, let me get my niece in here.
Yeah. It's like, we're almost done. Just one more episode. Yeah, I refuse.
Can't bring myself to it. That guy never acted again. I'm not even kidding.
Oh, man. Well, I mean, he wasn't great after this show. Yeah. Jumping on to the second episode we watched for today's show, it was Skull and Double Crossbones, Season 2, Episode 4. And this one, Chris chose because pirates, I think.
Yeah. I was just like, that sounds very piratey, and I like pirates. So let's do it. Let's do some pirates.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's a lot of pirate stuff. So that's cool.
There was. I really like this episode, actually. And it starts out with Carmen dressed in a pirate costume similar to the one used by a woman named Mary Reed.
I think she looks more like Captain Morgan.
Yeah, that's true. And who is some sort of legendary female pirate in yes. Jamaica. And so this pirate was sentenced to death. I mean, obviously she'd be dead anyway because it's a long time ago. But with these Jamaicans who are kind of, I don't know why they're just boating around here, but they think that it's this legend come back to life or it's this ghost. And so they're scared. And she's up there just taking this cannon or these cannons off of this pirate ship.
It probably doesn't help that, like, they see her standing on the edge of this, like, you know, that, like, fortress or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, like, the entire time she's just laughing and cackling maniacally.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so it probably didn't help their, like, fear, you know?
Well, true. Plus, it was the middle of the night and they were just out there right. alone. So I could see reason to be scared.
Yeah, I probably would have been a little, like, it would have given me pause for sure.
Yeah, exactly. The cut to the live action portion was like, no bragging about your latest crime, Carmen. And she's like, you haven't a ghost of a chance. And it's like, oh, man. So.
Yep, we went there.
and we actually get introduced to a different detective. And this is. Well, since this is only the second episode that we watched, like, I was wondering if, like, oh, well, is this detective going to be taking over the episode now? But it's like, no, okay, so this is just an additional yeah. detective. We've still got Ivy, and we've still got Zach as the main characters, but Jasmine comes in, who is a Jamaican detective, and they're all currently competing, these three detectives at least, are currently competing for Detective of the Year nomination.
Which I'm like, why would they deserve Detective of the Year? Because they get all of their info from the chief or player. Like, they don't do a whole lot themselves because they're just like, huh, I wonder. And then chief's like, well, here are some clues. Blah, 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 blah. And they're like, oh, player, pull this information up. He's basically like pulling up Wikipedia. Yeah, and I'm like, yeah. What? How does that make them detectives? How are they going to be detective of the year if they get so much help?
This is before Wikipedia, though, so I'm wondering if this kid's just, like, popping out the encyclopedias or something.
Maybe he is Wikipedia.
Boom,
like,
boom,
Wikipedia boom. Used to be a person, and he put his yeah. mind into the internet.
So, the actor for the show is credited as Wikipedia.
Yeah, I think so. I think that explains it.
There you go. You've solved this mystery. Carmen would be proud.
There's one thing I didn't like. Well, I liked Jasmine. I thought she was cool. Her name's Jasmine, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked Jasmine, but one thing I didn't like is when she's like there and she's talking to like a night security guard who's this old white guy, but he has the strongest Jamaican accent ever.
Yeah.
When they're talking, I'm like, that doesn't look right at all. Like, I don't care how long you've lived there. If you're like a white dude, I don't think that's, you know, I don't know. That seemed weird to me.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. Like, he picked up that accent. Strong. Either he was born and raised there, or I don't know, but it didn't feel right.
No,
for him to sound like he did,
not at all. I was like, that doesn't fit.
We get some lessons on pirating in general, or how it started and stuff like that. How the cannons, at least the cannons that she had stolen, or cannons in general, I guess, were used to take gold back from the Spanish settlers who were coming around taking gold from these settlements. The clue that Carmen leaves behind is a pirate map that was sewn into one of the pirate flags. And we get taken to this place called the Giddy House, which is some kind of, I can't remember what it was called exactly, but it was like a sunken, crooked house because something to do with the settling of the, I don't know, the dirt that it was in.
I think it was like, didn't a tsunami hit at one point? And then that's what like,
it
messed
right.
with the land and things started to sink.
Because we also learned a lot about tsunamis this episode.
Yeah, they definitely, that was one of the trivia questions on the commercial
break.
It
was, break, yeah. Well, I say a lot about tsunamis, but it's really just like, what is a tsunami? And it's just right. a overflowing wave. So I know that much.
Yeah. At one point, Carmen was, the three of them are in like a boat or something and they go scuba diving to try to find where they think Carmen's stashing some stuff that she's stolen. Oh, they thought she was hiding stuff in the, was it Marianas Trench?
Yep.
Because it's the largest trench. So they're like, obviously, that's where she's hiding her things. So they go down there, and then they encounter a shark. And it must be the slowest shark ever because the shark, out of three people, couldn't catch a single person.
Right.
I'm so disappointed in him.
Three humans that had no extra propulsion. They were just swimming away from the shark. They got into a boat, I think, that fit through a window that the shark couldn't fit through. And then Ivy, I think, kicks him in the nose.
Oh, she punches him like in the face.
Oh, punches him. Yeah.
If I ever did that, like, I know it wouldn't be applicable, but I would put that on my resume. Punched shark in face.
Once punched shark in face.
I mean, that would be like if I was hiring somebody and they said that, I'd be like, well, yeah, you got the job. It's yours.
This is kind of an off topic subject, but well, no, it's on topic, but way differently. So have you ever seen this movie Zombie 2?
No.
There is a fight between a shark and a zombie, and it is great.
Oh, my goodness.
And that's all I'll say for that.
That sounds like the shark would win.
No, he did not.
How is that even possible, man?
You have to watch the movie to find out.
That makes no sense.
I love that movie. Anyway, so yeah, we interlude to the tsunami, meaning overflowing wave in Japanese. And then here's where we see Jasmine is like, she deserves this award anyway, because she's the real hero. She sacrificed her own air tank.
Yes.
In order to make the shark go away by putting a flipper on it. And I guess it was supposed to look like a fish or something. And he was supposed to be chasing it. So that's what he did. And so she can't breathe. And I don't know how deep they are. It looks pretty deep. And they go back
the
up.
Marianas Trench is pretty effing deep.
It's like 5 miles deep or something, they said.
It's very deep.
So yeah, they swim back up. She has no air, but she's able to hold her breath. And yeah
she's fine. It.
They all live and she's fine.
She has no air, one flipper, but nah, it's fine.
That's easy. She made it.
Oh, I do like that they... So all of like Carmen's henchmen have those like horrible names.
Oh, I was just about to say this. Yes.
So like they confront this one guy and capture him whose name is Rip Shipoff.
Yeah. Rip Shipoff. That's great.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, that's so bad. I don't remember any of their other names, but that one really stuck out to me. So I wrote it down.
There was one in the first episode, but I forgot what it was.
I don't think it was as good as Rip Shipoff. That's bottom of the barrel henchman names.
And the reason they got their next clue is because Rip Shipoff has a parrot, and the parrot kept going, "Macaw, macaw." And they're like, "Macaw, that must be a hint." And I'm like, "No, that's what, like, that's the name of a bird."
Right.
It's probably his name. Maybe he's a Pokemon. But like, macaws are a bird. And that's like the default noise people make for birds like that. But then later, they're not like finding any info. But then they find out about this Chinese pirate from Macau. And then they're like, "Oh, the bird wasn't saying Macau, it was saying Macau." And then the bird's like, "Macau, Macau." And I'm like, "No, he wasn't. He was saying Macau. I heard it. You heard it. The player heard it."
So they basically use that bird to, that was their next clue, even though it wasn't really a clue. They just kind of figured it out. And Rip Shipoff's pretty upset with his bird. So
yeah. That bird is not long for this world.
No.
He's going to get some fried chicken.
Yeah. We get to see, so the info scan shows like the greatest pirates in history or something, and pirating being done for the queen, which is privateers. Yeah, so privateers were pirates who stole things and plundered for the queen, for the sake of Queen Elizabeth, which was another interlude and something interesting I had never really thought about.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of takes away some of the coolness of pirates, because if I remember right, the majority of pirates were working for their homeland's government, basically, and, you know, doing stuff for the crown. They're almost like black ops sort of things, you know, in a way. Like, they're like, "Oh yeah, like, we can't control them, but, you know, they give us money, so we're cool." But yeah, I mean, a lot of pirates, especially the ones in the Caribbean, were working for the English crown. A lot of them.
And that's interesting in its own right, but it takes away, like you said, from the dynamicness of pirates who are just like living life on the sea and stealing and plundering to survive.
Yeah, it's definitely not like they make it look in Pirates of the Caribbean. Like, no. It's definitely not like that.
What Carmen's goal is, I mean, she's trying to be like a modern day pirate, and her eventual goal is to take this top secret Russian sub, the Akula. She's trying to steal the sub, but we see the others, you know, the detectives get on board, first, and then when she comes in with her henchmen, she's able to take Zach, and then this other guy, I can't remember his name, he had long hair and glasses. He was also one of the detectives, or at least a contact for the detectives.
He's a contact for them. He's another Acme detective based out of China that they contact with. I didn't remember his name either because he only had like two lines, and then he was mostly out of the, he wasn't very involved in the story from that point.
Yeah, so they get taken off the ship, and Ivy and Jasmine are able to stay hidden. Oh, man. So this part where Jasmine and Ivy, they kind of knock out or tie up or something two of the henchmen, and they dress like them, but not well. Like, they don't cover their faces at all. Like, these henchmen have these ridiculously large glasses on that they really should have implemented into their outfits, because without it, they just look like Jasmine and Ivy cosplaying as these henchmen.
Yeah, and I like their like voices, because the other guys, they sound like what you would think a pirate would sound like, but Jasmine and Ivy are like, "Hey, where's Carmen?"
Yeah,
and I'm like, "Oh, is that what they really sound like to you?"
Yeah, those are terrible disguises. They obviously don't work. They're able to, however, radio the Navy in and save the day. I can't remember much of the context to that, but that's eventually what happens.
Well, they caught Carmen in the, like, basically what's the cockpit of the sub. Ivy and Jasmine got in there, and then they were like, "We called the Navy," and Carmen's like, "Oh." And then at that time, their other contact and Zach were running towards that cockpit too, but two of the henchmen had escaped and, like, tackled them, so Ivy and Jasmine go to help them. And during that, you know, few seconds that they were distracted, Carmen changes her outfit and escapes the sub and gets on a jet and flies away.
Oh, yeah, true. So she's gotten away again.
I like that she had enough time to also change her entire wardrobe.
She's a quick change artist for sure.
It's true.
And eventually, as was expected, Jasmine has won the Detective of the Year award. But it looks like Zach won it because of the way that he poses with it in a picture for some reason.
Yeah.
And it was a mislead, because then you're like, "Here's your award. At least we got to hold it." And that was
he's going to put that as his Facebook profile photo. So it looks like he won it, but he didn't.
Exactly.
He wants to be cool.
That wrapped up that episode.
Yay. Pirates.
Pirates. Arrgh. And the final episode we watched for today's show was actually the highest rated episode, "Can You Ever Go Home Again?" Season 4, Episode 8 and 9, which was the two episodes. And these were the final two episodes of the series.
Yes. And the answer is no, you can never go home again.
Well, that's true. Long story short. The end.
I just want to talk like a pirate for the rest of the episode. I'm going to talk like a pirate. Like the way that Ivy thinks they sound.
Exactly. Talk like they think pirates sound.
They sound like this.
Yeah.
I'm a pirate.
This was an interesting episode because it gives a lot of kind of backstory for Carmen that we hadn't gotten before.
Yeah.
And this is where it kind of crossed the line between like this being a video game and this being reality, because like, why would they have all of this in a video game?
Especially because the people in the show seem aware that they're in a video game. Like, I mean, Ivy and Zach, obviously. And the chief isn't even a person. He's just a disembodied head.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but Carmen's so, yeah, I don't know. It made me not understand what the show was trying to do as far as that goes.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, maybe it was just because they were wrapping up. They kind of just
let it slide.
Yeah. So what Carmen's doing in the opening of this episode is trying to break into Malcolm Avalon's mansion, who is a multimillionaire, and she's trying to steal a statue from him. He's got multiple guards around his estate. She distracts these dogs that are guarding with this RC car that has a stake taped on top of it. So she drives that car in there to distract the dogs. The guards follow them into this maze. Like, she maps out this maze so she can have the RC car go exactly where it needs to go in, like, the center of the maze to kind of mix it up and confuse them some. And she's able to get inside Malcolm Avalon's place. But then, and this is where the episode takes a turn, she sees this painting and she immediately is like, mother, and then like she pulls out a locket and it's got a picture of the woman in the painting in it. It's like, oh man, so this is crazy. So that being a painting of her mother, like that means Malcolm Avalon is potentially her father. And that's where the episode kind of starts out. So it's kind of, and it's an interesting episode from that point forward.
I agree. And like, it's kind of interesting because she kind of freaked out and then like, you know, totally forgot why she was there for a second. And then the guards are coming back. The dogs are coming after her. It's almost like she's almost getting caught this time.
Yeah, because she hesitated cool so much
and she had to just get out of there and didn't even bother trying to steal anything this time because she was like, you know, you could tell she was shook up from the discovery.
Exactly. And her revelation was like, could I have just tried to rob my own family?
Yeah.
And yeah. And from there, it almost turns into Carmen being the anti-hero here, where she's working somewhat with Acme Detective Agency while still stealing things, but she has her own reasons for doing that. And right, that's where this guy who looks like just a common thief, Lee Jordan, shows up. He comes in with his partner, like whose name I can't remember.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. He's very unimportant. But Lee Jordan was a former Acme detective who turned into a quote unquote master thief of his own right. But all we see him doing is like stealing some TVs from like Best Buy or something. And like, I don't know where
it
is.
It probably wasn't even a Best Buy. He was like at a Radio Shack.
Yeah.
Like getting like the off brand TVs and stuff. And he's like, yeah, I'm a master criminal.
Yeah, exactly. But then he catches wind of Carmen kind of breaking into that place and not stealing anything. And then he takes it upon himself to challenge her as the master thief.
He basically thinks that she's lost her touch.
Yep.
So he's like, okay, that leaves an opening. I'm the new master thief. And so he's going to prove it.
Yeah.
So he goes, and I don't remember exactly how he figured it out, but he, I guess, thought then that, you know, obviously there's something to that Avalon guy. So I'll just kidnap him.
But we see what Carmen ends up doing after, you know, after unsuccessfully robbing Malcolm Avalon, is going to the Library of Congress and stealing every book, which I don't know why she did this. Why she didn't just stay in the library and actually read them, but she stole every book under the letter A so that, you know, she could find out more information on Malcolm Avalon to kind of trace back to every book and every article, I guess, just all information under A. And so she leaves all these books and everything at the Golden Gate Bridge. The Acme detectives kind of tell us from some previous episodes where they found out that Carmen was orphaned as a child.
Right.
And that she at one point was trying to steal an orphanage that she had grown up in before it was torn down. So that's kind of showing in a way that she has a good heart, or at least she has fond memories of this place because she was trying to keep it from being burned down by stealing it. So it's kind of a weird catch 22.
So then she goes back to Avalon's place and confronts him and is basically like, I think you're my dad. And, you know, shows him the locket and stuff. And he accuses her of stealing the locket. And he's like, you're not my daughter. And then he goes off and gives this explanation about why his wife and daughter are dead. It's because, like, it was when he was younger and he was on some sort of business meeting somewhere. Doesn't matter, you know, old white guy business stuff. And the apartment or hotel or whatever they were staying in caught fire, and basically his wife was killed in it. And he didn't really say that anything about his daughter's body. He just said that they died in the fire. Yeah, but Carmen is just like, well, is it possible that I got out of there, you know, that I escaped and that I lived and just nobody had found me that knew who I was, sort of thing. And he's like, no, it's not possible because my daughter would never be a horrible thief and stuff. I'm right. Like, well, physically it's possible, but you're just in denial.
Yeah, he was definitely in denial. I mean, he had all these like pent up feelings and he was just upset that he, seeing that locket again kind of brought back memories for him. And he refused to believe that Carmen could be his daughter, who at the time would have been only 2. And had she survived and, you know, gotten out, she would have just kind of been wandering around aimlessly. So in a way, it makes sense. It doesn't really explain much more past that as far as like her being picked up for the orphanage or whatever. And I think that's intentional to leave it open to the implication that maybe she is, maybe she isn't.
Right.
And give us kind of the room to decide that.
Exactly. But she got denied hard, basically, and he kicked her out. And then Ivy and Zach are catching up. And they, like, this was pretty hardcore. Like, they, like, slam their car into her jet as it's trying to take off.
Oh, right.
And this starts the, like, the three, I think this happened three times, where Ivy's, like, hanging off of something that Carmen's taking off, and Zach's just screaming Ivy's name.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It happened so many times in that exact sequence. Ivy hanging onto something. That thing is moving into the air. Zach is screaming.
Yeah, that's true. I think Ivy hits Carmen with like a flashbang grenade at one point. Zach's job is to throw a net at her. He misses the first time, but then he is able to catch her in the second net that he throws, and they finally caught Carmen Sandiego at.
Well, that was like the second time, I think. Because the first time, like, she gets away, and then the exact same thing basically happens a second time after she sends them, like, a clue that's herself in a jack-in-the-box. I'm like, where does she get the time and resources to make herself as a jack-in-the-box?
Oh, yeah.
For, like, a five-second clue. But anyway, yeah, they do have a confrontation and stuff, and, yeah, Zach actually hits her with the net, and they capture her. Finally.
Yeah.
Finally.
We learn about Whistler's mother, the painting.
Yes.
In the interlude. And then we see Lee Jordan and his henchmen, after Carmen Sandiego is captured and, you know, taken to prison or whatever, Lee Jordan and his henchmen crash into Avalon's place and they kidnap him. And basically Lee's idea is that millions of dollars will help him create his criminal dynasty.
Yes.
So he has very high hopes for himself as a master thief to take over Carmen's spot. And after hearing about her father, this is where this first part of the episode wraps up. She escapes prison somehow. I mean, we don't ever really hear how. Yeah. She escapes prison because she's a master escape artist after hearing about her father being kidnapped. And of course goes to find Lee, who has kidnapped her dad.
Yeah. And the whole crew, like Zach and Ivy and somebody else, are celebrating with root beers.
Oh, yeah.
But then they find out she escaped, so the celebration's for nothing.
Yeah.
They failed.
And when Carmen confronts Lee, he's basically like, okay, well, if you ever want your dad back, you have to use your great thieving skills to steal me anything that I want, or you'll never see him again.
And he gives her a very long list.
Yeah.
And some make sense. I mean, like the Hope Diamonds on there. I'm like, okay, I could see that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you would be able to sell that to someone on the black market for a lot of money. I'm sure there's some people out there from other countries that would pay for a diamond that big. But then other things are like, he wants a samurai sword. He wants the most expensive baseball card. I'm like, what?
That's right. That's what jumps us into the second part of the episode, where he gives her the list. We find out that he is a former Acme agent. This is the first time we've seen it, but I'm sure they've called it in other episodes. But the regular detectives call in a C5 car.
Yeah.
Which I don't understand really, because my understanding was that C5 teleported them places automatically.
Yes.
And so why would you ever need a car in that?
But now instance? They have a car that can teleport anywhere as long as the player hits C5.
Oh, yeah, true. So they're in a car and they can chase down Lee and Carmen and whatnot.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
I wish I could C5 anywhere. That would be great.
Oh, that'd be so nice. Can't wait for teleportation to be a thing.
Oh, I know, man.
Unless it's overdue. A fly gets in the machine with us, and then I've seen how that ends.
Oh, yeah. That doesn't end super well.
No. Jeff Goldblum knows.
But I don't know. I wouldn't mind being able to fly. That would be cool.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
Anyway, the clue that Carmen leaves is a mislead clue, which is, don't go looking inside your country. Its name is something not allowed. And so the detectives are going through all of this stuff, trying to figure out what she's talking about, what kind of clue this is. I can't remember what leads them back to Carmen.
Well, it's because I guess the clue was for something else, but they ended up in the right place anyway. It was like, so when they say don't look inside your country, they're not meaning like a country as in, you know, borders and stuff like that. the meaning was not a city, you know, like there's a countryside. So don't look in the country, which means look in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And something that's forbidden, there's something called the Forbidden City. So that's where they went.
Right.
And found Carmen.
But wasn't it like they weren't supposed to be there at first?
Yeah, like I think that she didn't mean for them to catch up to her there. And yeah. It was really weird in how it was explained, and I didn't understand what the point was. I don't know. It was weird. That's all I can say. It was weird.
Yeah, it was a weird mislead, but the Forbidden City is in Beijing, and that's right. The last...
Also called Peking, apparently.
Yes, true. That is something we learned.
Yes.
We also learn that a common greeting in Japan is to bow instead of shake hands, which
yeah,
pretty much already knew.
We learned a lot in this episode.
We did. It was two episodes combined, so we learned like four things. That's a lot. Ugh,
that's too much for me. I don't want to learn stuff. Don't learn me nothing. America.
The last job that Lee has for Carmen is to destroy Zach, Ivy, and the entire Acme Detective Agency.
That's very specific that he called those two out in particular.
Yeah, exactly.
He destroyed those two and their whole organization. Why didn't he just say the whole organization?
Well, I think that they specifically had imprisoned him before, so he has a vendetta at that point. Yeah.
What a jerk.
The interlude here tells us about Tiananmen Square that can hold over 75 football fields.
That's crazy. That's a big square.
Big square. I don't remember where it was from, though, so I didn't learn a lot. We see Lee starting to use some weapons, and Carmen despises weapons.
Everyone gets to the same place, so Ivy and Zach are like in their C5 car, end up where Lee Jordan is and where Carmen is and where everybody is. And then they C5 in like all of the other agents from Acme, which is basically just a whole bunch of teenagers from other countries. It gets real Captain Planet looking in here, which was cool, though, because it's like, you know, we see Jasmine again. And we see that the guy from China that we saw before. And I'm guessing that these are all probably characters like them that have popped up throughout the rest of the series.
Yeah.
So I'm like, so that's probably like a really cool big moment for people that have watched the whole series, getting to see like everybody at one time taking on Lee Jordan and Carmen at the same time. And I thought that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was like a big reunion episode.
Yeah, basically. And I'm pretty sure one of the bad guys, like one of Lee's guys, was Vanilla Ice, because he looked a lot like Vanilla Ice.
Oh, you know, I was wondering if Lee specifically, was his voice the same voice as Captain Planet? Because it was reminding me of
it. I think it sounded like it. I wouldn't be surprised, because I was like, that voice is super familiar. It must be from something we watched recently. And I'm guessing that it's probably Captain Planet.
That's what I'm thinking.
You never know.
Anyway, so... At one point, someone says, like, where in the world is Lee Jordan? And then that was like what he wants to.
I think Lee said it himself.
Yeah, I think he did.
It was really sad and pathetic.
Once we kind of start wrapping up the episode and Lee Jordan is handcuffed and everything and captured, Carmen's supposed father, Malcolm Avalon, falls to the ground and sort of loses his memory. He gets some amnesia.
Oh, yeah, so, it's like Lee was shooting a gun or something, and then they were on like a roof and dodging it. He fell off the roof and injured himself, and Carmen like tried to rush to his aid, but then like she was going to get confronted and she had to bolt for it. He's arrested and stuff, and like nobody even cares. They're just like, it's Lee Jordan. Who cares?
Yeah.
But Carmen is still at large. But they show Carmen, and Carmen, like, you can see Carmen cry, and I was like, oh, that's sad.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it had done so in other episodes too, but this episode really humanized her to the point where it's like, she's not really a villain so much. She's just like, she's not a bad guy or bad woman. She just does this stuff for fun, and it kind of makes it interesting to view her that way, like not as a antagonist.
Now, I didn't like this, but during the credits at the end of this, they showed like this little thing of her at a hypnotist.
Oh, yeah.
And he was hypnotizing her, and he's like asking her questions about how she got the locket, and then it is revealed that it wasn't given to her, that she found it. So then that makes you leads you to believe that she isn't that guy's daughter. But then she's like questioning the guy. She's like, but is it possible that I had it and dropped it and then found it? And I'm just like, that seems unlikely. So now it's just very much like they made it more ambiguous. Like, whereas before I was leaning towards it's ambiguous, but I feel like she's probably his daughter. Now I feel like it's ambiguous, but she's probably not his daughter.
Yeah, it very much left it open. But this didn't feel like it should have been the last episode because it was still so open to where it's like, okay, well, until next time, but there wasn't the next time.
Yeah, like I feel like they should not have included that in there. Like, I think that was dumb.
Yeah. Well, Chris, looks like it's about time we see C5 our inner kids into the thick of things to locate Carmen and prevent her from stealing any more historical artifacts. But I was never really very good in history class, so maybe we just Alt F4 this program and watch YouTube vids instead. Oh, and also, let's see what they thought of Where on Earth is Carmen Sandiego.
This show is, I don't know. I mean, I like all the different places, but it moves so fast, and somehow it was still kind of boring. I don't know how. The only cool thing was my new girlfriend, Ivy, who could beat up anyone in the whole world. Or the internet. I'm confused. So I gave this cartoon 2.5 bowls of something crunchy invented by John Harvey Kellogg in Battle Creek, Michigan, out of 5.
Edutainment programs can be pretty hit or miss sometimes, but this one was definitely a hit. I'm usually not terribly interested in history lessons, but Where on Earth is Carmen Sandiego made it much more digestible and fun. On the surface, the characters seem like they might have gotten annoying quickly with the bossy, controlling older sister and the hyperactive, risk-taking little brother, but I'm happy to report that their demeanors totally worked within the context of the show, so I never really grew tired of them. On top of that, I feel like I actually learned a few things and had a good time doing it. Overall, I'd give Where on Earth is Carmen Sandiego 4 big bowls of Where on Earth Can She Be cereal out of 5, and highly recommend it, especially if you're looking for a more exciting way to learn about history. As a side note, even though I love math myself, I know other kids don't, so maybe they could do a new series of Carmen games about that. Why on Earth is Carmen Sandiego doing math? Why in the world is Carmen Sandiego doing math? Followed by the final addition to the trilogy, Carmen Sandiego, please, anything but more math!
You know, yeah, like, I see why they use Carmen Sandiego to teach things, but does anyone really need to learn more math? I don't think anyone wants math.
I feel like they should, though. I love math.
I don't like math. At all. In fact, me and numbers go way back. Yeah, it's been a bitter feud for, you know, the good part of 31 years.
But if Carmen Sandiego is teaching them, it might have been different.
Nah, we'll see. We'll see. So do you have any final thoughts about this show?
For me, it's kind of like what I expected it to be. I don't think it's something that I'll jump back into and watch all of because still, I'm not that interested in history lessons as is, but if I, for whatever reason, needed to or wanted to go back and learn a few things, especially as a kid, that would be something fun to jump into because there are some good lessons in there and they do teach it in a very approachable way where it's very simple and quick facts. But it's things you hold on to because, like we were talking about earlier, there is repetition to it. So it's something that kind of sticks in your brain. And I'll probably remember these little facts that I learned from just these three episodes for at least the next few months. So I'd say, yeah, check it out. For sure, I think it's a good way to teach kids some little history lessons.
See, for me, I was kind of disappointed in this one, to be honest. I didn't really, you know, I didn't even understand the basic component of the show, for one. Is it a video game? I mean, it would have to be, right? Which kind of made me not that invested in the characters. Aside from Ivy, but Chief was really obnoxious. The episodes seemed like they moved pretty fast and threw a lot of history and just facts and stuff at you. And it just wasn't nearly as enjoyable to me as the video games. So I appreciate the idea of Carmen Sandiego, but this is a cartoon I'm not going to watch any more of. But I'm not opposed to playing the games because, like I said, I grew up playing the games. And even though I haven't revisited those, I have better or I have higher hopes for them than I did this show. So I guess we'll see.
Okay. Well, still, Ira, thank you for suggesting this. It was a cool show to jump back into, for me anyway.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I'm very appreciative that I got to see it again. But now it gives me more appreciation for the video games.
Well, listeners, it looks like our milk supply has now run dry, so it's time for us to say goodbye. Next week, we'll be watching
Bionic 6, suggested by Daniel via Facebook.
Sweet. I don't know what that is exactly, but I'm looking forward to it.
It's got a 6 in it, so whatever it is, there's 6 of it.
There's 6 of it, and they're bionic in some way.
I'm guessing some sort of like cyborgy kind of thing, maybe. And there's 6 of them.
That's what I'm thinking. It can't be anything else. Once again, I'm Joseph.
And I'm Chris.
And we'll see you next Saturday.
Presented by NerdSloth,
a place for lazy nerds.
If you like what you heard, consider donating at patreon.com/nerdsloth so we can continue bringing you quality shows. Be sure to also leave us a review and share your favorite episodes and clips on social media. If you're looking for more content, visit us at nerdsloth.com.